Welcome, everyone, to another Scowl's Top 4. Today, Rich and I will be doing our top 4 writer/artist runs on a comic book character. So, Rich, are you ready and excited for this?
Oh, I'm ready and excited. 110,000% excited.
So I think for myself, this mainly leads itself to just being the big two in comics, since a lot of the Image, Vertigo, Dark Horse books are generally just one writer for the whole thing. So the characters don't get a lot of different variations. So for myself, I have mainly the big two.
We'll have to see what I have.
All right. Well, do you want to start us off or do you want me to start us off?
Go ahead. I'll start us off. So I went with probably my favorite long running superhero team. So I went with Chris Claremont's run on Uncanny X-Men. That's a 16 year run where he was writing them, and spawned pretty much all of the the quintessential informative stories for the X-Men. Like God Loves, Man Kills, the Dark Phoenix saga, the whole most of the stuff that is the foundation for the movies and iterations through cartoons and stuff like that. So that is my first pick.
Right, he basically brought X-Men to the forefront for everyone, right?
Yep, yep. Redefined them, gave them all for individual storylines, really kind of broke them out from a lot of the molds.
Not a bad choice. So I am going to start off with probably the first run that I started reading when I got into comics was Mark Waid's Daredevil run.
Okay.
So I picked that one just because that's where I started reading comics. I like how he handles Daredevil. There's a lot of gritty storylines and just a lot of interpersonal thought that I really enjoyed of him talking through different stories and just how the way he interacts with the world. So that was my launching off point for reading comics. It's kind of got a soft spot there for me. So I went with Waid's Daredevil run, which was eight trades worth. So
yeah,
probably 50 or 60 issues. So a pretty good chunk, a couple years.
Yeah, ago. there was a numbering reset in the middle of there too. So I don't remember exactly how long the run was, but yeah, he had a lot of great artists, a lot of great ideas for the character while he was on that run.
Yeah, so that's where I'm going to start off.
All right. So that brings me to the other publishing company now. Now, again, big disclaimer when we're doing these. They might not be, the quintessential writers, but they're definitely ones that stuck with me, mainly because, I would follow artists into books, and then the writers would kind of help keep me there. And Scott Snyder's Batman run has been some of my favorite stuff. Because with him, with Greg Capullo, they hit the Court of Owls, that, the whole Joker with his face that came off thing. So they went a little into the grittier stuff, which might not be where my favorite, DC era stuff lies. I kind of like the more golden agey kind of feel of DC stuff. But it was a great character work. It was a great departure from the norm. And it hit some pretty iconic storylines. So yeah, Scott Snyder's run of Batman was my number two.
I can definitely say I've read books longer than I thought I was going to, just because I've enjoyed the artist on them.
Yeah.
If I see anything that has Alex Ross on it, I don't care what the character is, I'm going to pick that book up just to look at it.
Yeah.
Because it's appealing to the eye.
Yeah, it's Alex Ross. It's going to sell you some books.
So I, too, will be jumping to the other guy for my second one, which is another book that I started reading not long after I started reading the Waid run, which would be Francis Manapul's run on Flash for the New 52.
Mm.
That was kind of where I started reading Flash. And I just really like that it gets pretty quick into his, the rogues gallery of baddies and how they work together. I like how it plays into him learning, Flash learning about his powers, and that it's more than just I can run fast. I mean, it does have one thing that I think a lot of people are frustrated by, which is that he can think faster, so he can learn faster and hold on to knowledge for a little bit. But I think that's a cool thing that he has in there.
Yeah.
It makes sense if he can run, around the world faster than anyone can think, that he'd be able to read a book faster than anyone else could. Otherwise, he wouldn't be able to keep up with what he's looking at. right? So making his brain work faster, I think, is a really interesting idea.
Yeah, it's very clever. It has another, like another, you know, another relatable level to, you know, what ends up being like an insane power set. Like the Flash is so powerful.
Right. I mean, arguably the most powerful character in all of DC, right?
Like, pretty much. Yeah, even if he loses a fight, I'm just going to rewind.
Right.
Let's try this again.
So your third one, Rich?
My third one is, so I'm gonna take a little tiptoe over to Daredevil country, but I'm going to go with Bendis's run on Daredevil. It was like, you know, there's Miller's run, there's, you know, Wade's run. There's like a bunch of really big like Daredevil runs, but the one that when I started collecting comic books, like kind of heavily, because I just would buy X-Men books, the one that kind of pulled me into the broader spectrum of comics was the Bendis Maylieve run on Daredevil. It was gritty. It was dark. It kind of pushed, you know, Daredevil into some moral gray areas, and like that storytelling at that time for me, it was like, wow, it's crazy that you know, comic books can write into that gray area so well, and Maylieve's artwork on it was pretty fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool how one character can have so many different versions of them that are enjoyable, because I've read some of the Bendis run and I enjoyed it. I've read some of the Frank Miller stuff, and it's like interesting. It's the same character but done different ways. And who was it? What, Loeb did the Daredevil Color book?
Yeah, Yellow.
That's a good book.
Yeah.
And it's like four different writers that all did the character justice in their own way. Like, I think that's really cool.
Yeah. And he's always a guy trying to figure out where the line is on what he's not willing to cross. So it constantly keeps him interesting.
All right, so my third one is, I am going to follow you back to Marvel, is going to be Jason Aaron's run on Thor.
Now, okay.
I didn't start reading when he started on Thor. I started reading after Original Sin, when Thor's become unworthy, and there was Lady Thor, and we were trying to figure out who that was. I just thought it was like such a really cool idea, and like a way to change a character, but still make it feel so important. And once it's, you know, spoilers, revealed that Jane Foster is Thor, like the thought process they went into, like, she's a sickly, you know, she's a human that's being killed by the fact that she's Thor because the powers are stopping her from getting better. So she's got like this, you know, do I continue doing what's right by being Thor to protect, you know, people and the world from all these horrors, or do I just need to take care of me? And I love like the scenes where you see just Jane Foster, and she's like sickly and little in the like hospital getting chemo with the helpers. I forget what their name, like Sif and
the Warriors Three.
The Warriors Three are like, you know, carting her around because she's frail.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed that run, and it stayed good for the whole time that he was on it.
Yeah. It's tough. Like I've got my own personal beef with like Mantle passing, where, you know, sometimes I feel like it's kind of a scapegoat, like, oh, I don't know how to write this other character to be good, so I'll just give them a name that's like well known.
Right.
But the, you know, the transition to Jane Foster Thor is one of the ones that's definitely been done well.
Yeah, because like how it happened with the Original Sin is Nick Fury whispers, we still don't know what, in Thor's ear.
Yeah.
While they're fighting in space, Thor drops the hammer and can't pick it up anymore.
I mean, all Samuel L. Jackson has to do is say you're not worthy. I'm like, I'm not arguing with Sam Jackson.
Right. So
I just put this hammer down and go home.
Yeah, the Jason Aaron run on Thor is just definitely something that I've enjoyed. And I've been reading Thor since 2014, and I've enjoyed it all the way through.
That's pretty good. Pretty good run.
So your fourth one?
My fourth one. So I'm going to say to hell with your rule, and I'm going to go with Robert Kirkman's run on Invincible.
All right.
So it's my favorite book of all time. And it's just, it was an absolute delight for all 142 issues that he wrote on. It handled, you know, shifting from a story about a high school kid into realizing that his world was much larger than he thought. And then it got intergalactic, but still stayed personal. And then he would build a family. And then that had its own interesting dynamics. And it kind of felt, it's a book that you felt grow the entire time. And then it ended like really well. So his run was just, and the art on it, Cory Walker and Ryan Otley are amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Ryan Ollie is awesome. I haven't read all of Invincible yet, but I enjoyed like all the art that Ollie did. And I read when Ollie was doing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And he just does a very good job.
He's just quietly one of the best in the business. He just kind of like, I didn't hear his name anywhere near enough until he got the job, like working on Spider-Man. And just his, like the amount of emotion. Cause Ryan, like Robert Kirkman could write this fantastic script, and it's tricky to try and, you know, parlay that into something that could happen on the screen. And the two of them working in tandem with, you know, like the epic moments that Kirkman would write, and then just the visual representation Otley would put behind it. It's just amazing. It was everything I want a comic book to be.
Yeah, for them to understand each other like that is really important.
Yeah.
All right, so my fourth and final one, I had narrowed it down to two, and I have one written down, but I think I'm going to go with the one I didn't write down. So I'm going with Greg Pak's run on Hulk during World War Hulk and Planet Hulk.
Okay.
So I found that story to be like really interesting. Like the Hulk himself needs to learn how to fend for himself, right? He's somewhere where he's not the most powerful. Like he's matched by the people on the planet.
But that's crazy just in and of itself.
Right. So it's like a whole new experience for the Hulk, who's used to just smashing. And if you haven't read them, it's basically the small part in Ragnarok where he's in the gladiator cage is the like Planet Hulk, World War Hulk-ish kind of story thrown together. But it's like, it's really interesting to see Hulk not be the Hulk and get pummeled by what you appear to be regular people. And like sort of like rise up and grow as a character, because you don't think of Hulk as like this character with anything other than rage. So it's neat that like there's more to it. Like he becomes more intelligent and like is hurt by what happened to in the events that led up to him being, you know, sent away from the planet. So I think it's really cool.
Yeah. And it was cool kind of watching, you know, Hulk, like not Bruce Banner, Hulk go through like an emotional series of events, you know, right. Like the feeling of abandonment and then, you know, finding his place where he was. And then, you know, without any spoilers, like whatever, like the stuff that happens there that drives him back to his old life.
Right.
It was written real well for you to actually kind of like feel emotion coming from the guy that just, you know, he smashes.
Right. So I think that takes a lot of like intelligent, like thought out writing to get that out of a character with nothing. Those have been our top four runs by writer/artists on comic books. Let us know what you guys thought, you know, in the comments. Tweet at us what you think. You know, if you think that the Wade/Miller/Bendis run of Daredevil's garbage, well, tell us why. So
I will disagree.
Right. You can find me on the Twitters at HyperHippo with no E. And Rich, where can they harass you at?
Twitter. I am Levelhead Lunacy, but it's LVL Headed Lunacy.
All right. So stop back for our next top four scowlers. Have a good night.
See you later.